Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Reverend John Weathers, Bible teacher at Bob Jones Academy. The title of his message is Possible Problems of Unanswered Prayer. The text is from Joshua chapter 7.
Open your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. This morning I want to preach on possible problems of unanswered prayer. I thought about naming it potential problems of unanswered prayer, but then I thought, well, there might be one or two of you in here that might be in the present tense, not potential, future tense. Do we have problems with unanswered prayer? Possible problems, then, with unanswered prayer. Joshua chapter 7. Now, you students in the academy, please laugh at the following joke. You probably heard it once or twice already, okay. But to tie in the sermon, I heard about this preacher one time that found a little kitten on top of a tree. The tree wasn't so big. But he thought, he needs to get that cat out of that tree. And so he lassos a limb, ties the other end of the rope to the bumper of his car, and pulls out a little bit so the tree kind of bends down so he can reach up and get the cat. And as he opens up the car door to get out to go get the cat, he hears, bing! And the cat goes, bing! And the old cat's flying through the air in the neighborhood. The old tree went, bing! Well, he walks religiously around the neighborhood and can't find the cat. So a few days later, he's in the local grocery store, and the lady in front of him, and he knows her. He knows she hates cat, and she's buying a lot of cat food. And he said, ma'am, what's going on here? I mean, you don't like cats, and you're buying a lot of cat food. And he was kind of curious, too, you know. She said, preacher, you won't believe this. But the other day, my daughter was in the backyard praying that God would send her a kitten. And she looked up, and through the sky, here comes this flying cat. Lands right in our backyard. God sent her a kitten. And she's so happy. Well, you got to be careful, folks, what you pray for. The Lord might answer it, too. But in this sense, this morning, I want to go the other way. Why does God not answer our prayers sometimes? Now, obviously, we know He does answer them. Yes, no, wait a while. But specifically, are there things in our life that, you know, doesn't please God? Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So the first problem, the first possible problem of answered prayer is, number one, unconfessed sin. There are things in our life that don't please God, and He's letting us know it. In Joshua chapter 7, actually the several verses right before, to get a rolling start here, Joshua has finally made it to the Holy Land. Moses dies and God buries him on Mount Nebo. And now you've got the swollen Jordan River at flood stage, and there's a challenge there. Joshua looks to God, and God opened, you know, just cuts the water off of the Jordan, and the children can go across. That there's what I consider orders, obstacles, and obedience. And in your life today, there are probably some orders from God. And there are probably some obstacles. The question is, do we have the obedience? And then they get to Jericho. I mean, you've got the crossing of the Jordan, and then you've got the conquest of Jericho. And in each case, Joshua obeys. They march around the city once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, seventh time, blow the trumpet seven times. Seven trumpets. I mean, God's word is complete. They don't blow it seven times, the walls don't come tumbling down. They marched around the city. They're sitting ducks. Those guys in Jericho could, you know, hit them with arrows, open the gates and come rushing out and catch them at any moment. But they simply obeyed God, and God protected them. They were probably laughed at. Maybe some rocks came tumbling down. When I was a kid, we used to have the Christmas parade in a local southern town. And in a weaker moment, you know, some of my buddies would get up on the second floor of a furniture store that his granddaddy owned and with the pea shooters. See if we could get the peas in the tuba, you know, the guy in the back, you know. Ding, 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 ding. Don't you think they threw a few rocks from the walls of Jericho? But those guys religiously, faithfully kept marching, obeying, even though there were obstacles. And God blessed. And then we know the story about Achan, who, as they went throughout the city of Jericho from house to house, the sergeant said, "Okay, Achan, you go this way and check this house out. And this guy goes this way." And he looks around and there's nobody behind him. And he goes in this house and he finds that wedge of gold and some silver and that precious Babylonian garment that, oh, it was unique, exquisite, and my wife would love to wear that. And he looks back behind him and nothing is going on, and he kind of slides it under his garment and kind of walks out like nothing ever happened. But God saw it. And a few days later, we know the story of Ai when 36 of the soldiers of the Jewish army died. Maybe it was one of his neighbors, just like we've had 17 soldiers in Iraq from South Carolina to die already. And just maybe word got back to Achan and Mrs. Achan that, you know, the neighbor's boy was one of those 36 soldiers. And all along, Achan is thinking, "I know the problem. I know the reason. I know why God is judging us, but I ain't going to say a thing." Now, this is my opinion. I don't know for sure. But I got a hunch. If Achan goes to Joshua and says, "Joshua, I got to confess something," Achan doesn't die. Now, there are some problems there that they have to take care of. But I think he walks. My opinion. God's mercy and grace. I don't know for sure. But he kept it quiet. He concealed that sin. 36 innocent, good guys died for his sin. Unconfessed sin in our life will be a big factor. It'll mushroom. And if any of you here are covering some sin and then you want God to bless you, remember a verse from Psalms: "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God won't hear me." Maybe some of you today need to get some things right. Talk to Mom. Talk to Dad. Talk to the dean of men, the dean of women. Eventually, God says, "Joshua, this is what I want you to do. Tomorrow morning at the crack of dawn, line up all 12 tribes and they march before you. And when the right tribe comes by, I'm going to tell you to stop and you can tell them to stop." So it took a lot of time, a lot of valuable time from all those families, from all those tribes to get up early and to get dressed and parade before Joshua. And I don't know which order Judah was, but when the tribe of Judah came by, I mean, can you imagine if they were the 12th tribe? 11 tribes did that for nothing. It cost a lot of people a lot of energy and time. And maybe even money if they could have been working somewhere else. And I submit to you, teenager, that if you do something really stupid and maybe ask not to come back next year, you're going to cause Mom and Dad a lot of headaches and heartaches and financial problems. Sin takes you further than you want to go. Holds you longer than you want to stay. Confess that sin today. Even this hour. And get it right. Well, we know the story. God says, "Stop!" Joshua said, "Stop!" And the tribe of Judah stopped. And then God said, "Joshua, it's in that family. So all the other families get to go. But, you know, all the relatives with Achan have to hang around." And then God says, "It's that particular family right there. And all those families within that order left. But here's Achan and Mrs. Achan and the kids." Now, again, this is my opinion. I don't know. But maybe the kids knew about it too and helped cover it up for dead sin. Not good. I honestly don't know. The point I'm trying to make here is That whole morning, as Achan stood in line, ready to march, it could have been hours, his heart is beating in his breast. He's thinking, I need to get this right, but I'm not. Maybe I can slip through. And maybe for hours, at least for several moments, he's wishing he hadn't done it. He's hoping he can slide by. But God's DNA tests are real. His X-ray eyes don't miss a thing. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord in every place, Proverbs 15:3, beholding the evil and the good. And dear friend, today, if you are hiding something from God, do you realize you can't do that in the first place? Get it right. And the verse in chapter 7 that really breaks my heart is in verse 18. Joshua chapter 7, verse 18. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi. Look carefully now, the son of Zerah. Now Zerah was one of the twin boys born to Judah and Tamar in a bad situation back in Genesis 39. I call it the black eye chapter when we work our way through that book in the academy. Because it sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, everything's going fairly well, and then you read Genesis 38. The other twin brother was Phares. His line ended up with Boaz, who married Ruth. Boaz's mama was Rahab in Jericho. You see God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's grace when we sin and we do wrong and we ask God to forgive us. Ruth, Boaz, I mean, they end up, you know, the great-great-great-grandmother, granddaddy of David. And in the line of Christ, Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. God will forgive. But if we hold on to that sin and we hold on to that sin, we might end up like Zerah and his grandchildren, like Achan and his family. In the last part of verse 18, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, and what's the last two words of verse 18? He was taken. He didn't volunteer any information. He didn't confess anything. Only until he was found out. Only until God pointed to him and said, he's the man. Grab him. And you could read the rest and see what happened to Achan and probably his family. Now, we don't have our prayers answered. It might be because of sin, like a cloud, comes over our face. And the bright, warm sun of God's love can't hit your forehead. You're in the shadows of sin. And we need to ask God, this moment, this hour, this day, soon, this little, I want to have a clean heart. I want to have a pure heart before you. Years ago, around 1990, 91, I forget the exact year, I was still in charge of the custodial department back then. And we had some girls that cleaned up the art gallery each day. And after one or two times, the lady in charge of the art gallery called me and said, we're missing some money in the donations bucket. And I thought, oh boy, what can I do? So I got some of that purple powder that the police use, put it on a dollar bill, and put it in the bucket. Two or three days later, the lady at the art gallery called me and said, it's gone. So I brought the purple light or the black light, you know, whatever you call it, plugged it into the wall and lined the four or five girls up in a row and said, stick your hands out, please. I was nice. And the first girl came up and put her hands all around the black light. Nothing happened. The next girl came up and put her hands around the black light. Nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, the girl at the end of the row started crying. I thought, I bet she did. She didn't even have to put her hands on the black light. She started crying big time. She said, "Mr. Weather, I am so sorry. Would you forgive me?" I don't even remember her name. I mean, she might be listening to this over the radio one day. I don't know. But I remember crying too. And saying, "I'll go talk to your mom and you go talk to the dean of women. Or you go talk to your mom and I'll go talk to the dean of women. You decide." And she had to find another job off campus. Now, obviously, we're more than willing to forgive her. But I'm saying, be sure your sins will find you out. God is a master detective. You can't fool Him. The second possible problem with unanswered prayer is not only unconfessed sin, but it's unbended knee. Over in chapter 9, as you work your way through Joshua. After Jericho, after Ai, the Gibeonites can see the handwriting on the wall. They're doomed. Their days are numbered. They're sitting ducks. They don't stand a chance. And they come up with this idea to lie to Joshua and the guys that we've been traveling so many miles and all these old clothes and, you know, moldy food, which all was a scam. It was a lie. It was a trick. And Joshua and his general swallowed it. Verse 14, Joshua chapter 9. "And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made a peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swore unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were now neighbors and they dwelt among them." They pulled the wool over their eyes to use that idiom. They tricked them royally. But over the years, they became the water boys, the wood gatherers. I mean, when you have sacrifices, you're going to need a fire. And the Gibeonites became the servants to gather the wood and bring the water for the tabernacle and eventually the temple in Jerusalem for generations to come. Even some of these ancestors helped Nehemiah build the wall years later. They survived, but they became slaves. They became servants to Joshua. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is God doesn't answer a prayer sometimes because of sin or unconfessed sin. But I think God doesn't answer a prayer sometimes because of unbended knee, our pride. We don't bow before Him and say, "Do you really want me to date that boy? Or do you really want me to date that girl? Or do you really want me to go there to college? Or do you really want me to have that major? Thank you, God. You got me this far. I can take it the rest of the way. Thank you very much." And we don't bow our knee for wisdom and guidance. Just like Joshua blew it. You will too. "You have not," James says, "because you ask not." And we need to ask God for wisdom every day. Who do you want me to date? What do you want me to wear? What do you want me to listen to? It's kind of interesting. As you follow through on this, there are like four or five other nations in Joshua chapter 10 that heard about the Gibeonites. And they said, "We've got to punish the Gibeonites because if word gets around, all the other nations will do the same thing." And so these four or five nations banded together and surrounded the Gibeonites. And they sent a runner to Joshua down by the Jordan River at Gilgal, below sea level, and said, "Help! We're going to get clobbered." And Joshua started twiddling his thumbs. He started to smile. He said, "Now I can get even with those guys. We'll just let these bad kings consume them and we'll get out of this lousy deal." Is that really what Joshua did? No. It had been very convenient for him to say, "You lied to me, sucker. you're going to pay. And just stayed down at Gilgal with all his soldiers and let those four or five nations consume the Gibeonites. No, that's not what Joshua said. Joshua said, oh boy, now we get a chance to kill five kings at once instead of one at a time. Now wait a minute. Gilgal is at the Jordan River. The Gibeonites, a 4,000 feet in elevation, climb up, not down. You know, the Bible says several times you go up to Jerusalem, even though they're going south geographically. I mean, if you read the Bible carefully, and we don't have a whole lot of time here, but the idea that they climbed 4,000 feet up in elevation from like Jericho to Jerusalem at night. And then they had to fight a war the next day. You know they were tired. You know they were weary. And then that's the battle where God says, Joshua says, God, will you stop the sun and the moon and give us an extra day? You talk about putting tired on top of tired. And all I'm saying is Joshua did it because he wanted to keep his word. He wanted to honor God. He wanted to please Him. Even though it took a lot of effort to climb the 4,000 feet during the night and then fight for 2 days in a row. I mean, some of you are having a hard time staying awake right now. Could you imagine fighting after you've been walking all night long? 20 miles, 4,000 feet up? Just to keep your word. Just to protect some people that lied against you. That's Joshua. Two reasons, two possibilities for unanswered prayer I've looked at this morning. Number one, unconfessed sin, like Achan and Jericho and Ai. And number two, we've got the Gibeonites and Joshua when they didn't ask wisdom. They didn't ask God, what should I do? Now, what I'd like to do in the next 3 minutes is for us just to bow our heads in a second and pray. I've got a CD of the Academy Honors Chorale, Singing Grace. And in a minute, we're going to play it. Listen to the words and let God speak to your heart. And if you need to pray for grace, if you need to confess some sin, would you do that right now? We ask wisdom of God. Is faithful, are we? Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Father, we pray that we just didn't sit here. But if there is unconfessed sin in our life, we clean it. We ask, Lord, to be cleansed by the Word, to be washed by the blood. We called upon Your mercy and Your grace even in these last few moments. Oh, Lord, please convict us until we get things right. And dear Lord, I pray that if there's some here that have not been looking for wisdom and guidance from You, that even now they would be answered prayer as they see Your face by faith. Whatever the need, Lord, in the hearts today, we pray that Your hand, Your strong right hand, would undergird each of the folks here. May Your will be done, we pray, this hour in Your name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend John Weathers, Bible teacher at Bob Jones Academy. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.